Our reading from God's Word this morning must be one of the absolute high points of our Scripture. Matthew chapter 16, commencing to read at verse 13. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or any of the prophets." Or one of the prophets. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. Amen.
Morning all. Going well? Which is good. And the wonderful opportunity, as Elaine's prayed before, the wonderful opportunity that we have to be gathered in such a fashion has so much, what I would say, potential, so much possibility in regards to the things that the Lord would have to work in our midst and through us. So it is a great place to gather once again. And to know that the Lord is in our midst. One of the wonderful provisions that he made was that he would always be with us, and particularly in a context such as this, as the ministry of the Spirit of God works a work that only he can do. So as Elaine mentioned before, welcome to those who are our guests, welcome to all who have gathered in this place, and I trust that as you have already shared, and there's been, as it were, a touch of God on your life, that will continue. We have this sense of anticipation about that there is so much more in the grace of God for each one of us. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we do say thank you again that even as we pause again in this context of prayer, that what a blessing it is to just take that still moment and acknowledge not only as your word encourages us to do, to acknowledge that you are God, that you are our creator, that you are the one who is over all and in all and through all as your word describes, but you are the one who is present. And by your spirit now, you have plans and purposes in every moment of this time together. Very unique things that you would continue to work in our midst now. As we wait upon you, and we just give you thanks with that sense of anticipation in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure many of us have come to appreciate that there are many challenges in life, in just plain doing life. And one of the great ventures, one of the great challenges I've had in recent days has been to finish my retainer wall at the back of the house. So you're most welcome to come along and have a look at my challenge tackled and now near complete. I tell you what, I'm exhausted, so I possibly won't walk up and down very much at all this morning, because sometimes you can actually push a little further with working out a challenge than what your body was actually ready for. But anyway, I'm here and I appreciate the fact that I can walk out the back of my house now and see pavers that look something like a straight line. And I do qualify, something like a straight line. Somebody who might have done it professionally, it would have been clearly a straight line. But I'm pretty close that once sun sets and I turn the lights out, they're very straight. I'm very, very convinced of that. Anyway, that's not the only challenge that I face. And when it comes to ministry, there are, as you'd appreciate, I was trying to sort of open it up fairly broadly there, that we're all facing challenges. But one of the challenges that I face on a regular basis, and it's not just a feature unique to Victor Harbour, but it is something that has happened in the churches that Margie and I have been a part of. Every couple of months or so, I feel this pressure, quite an intense pressure, because you know these things called rosters? Is that a strange term to people here? You know what rosters are? You know, the things that sort of tend to sort of run a church? You know, there are responsibilities here and there and there, and times, and people take time out. And there's one lady here, I'm surprised. I mean, I'm sure she's seen her cardiologist recently, but the amount of stress that Betty has to work through and others to try to get this roster to work, and then they try and transfer the pressure onto me. And I say, but Peter, you've got to provide the themes and readings. Oh, really? I thought that was John's response. Oh, sorry, no, it wasn't John's response. You know, but there is this challenge to provide these scripture readings and themes and those types of things. And you might, some people might think it's easy. And many years back, I can remember it was. You used to go to the little office out the back here, and you'd go look up on the board, and there was a lectionary. And it said the theme and the reading. All you had to do was transfer them out to the little boards that were up on the wall here, and that said the hymn numbers, and that one over there said the readings for the day, and the theme was in the newsletter. Very simple. But we're a little more spontaneous than that these days. In the sense of we now, we have the challenge, I have the challenge of, in some ways, providing themes and readings that theoretically are relevant. I appreciate your feedback from time to time. I'm quite happy if you catch up to me while I'm doing my coffee later on and say, Peter, that wasn't relevant. I will sit down and cry, but you can brace yourself. But that's part of the challenge of my part of ministry in this particular context, is to provide themes and readings and ministry that is relevant. It also needs to be life-related, because you can have stuff that's relevant that doesn't necessarily impact your life, or my life, for that matter. So the challenge continues. I can't just bring along a topic of the day. What about my most recent recipe that I've discovered? You'd be interested in that. That's life-related and relevant, isn't it? Food is always relevant. That's why half of the television programs on my telly set are about cooking and eating. But I need to be drawing on the counsel of God's Word, because that is actually the spiritual food that we do all need. So there you go. What I'm trying to do this morning is transfer some of the weight over to you. Is that a good idea? Okay. Yes. Because the challenge continues. I have to somehow or another engage your interest. That's why I take my glasses off and I can look at you. And I can actually work out names and faces. And the next time I visit you, I'll be talking about what you've gleaned out of some... No, we'll just touch base. But the point is that sense of engaging and that sense of, in some way, edifying. And I appreciate again this morning Elaine's leading in our worship. I hope and I trust that you've got to this point at least and you have been edified. You have been strengthened in some way. You have known the presence of God and experienced some sense of, not because of the air conditioning or the heating system is very comfortable. I'll see if you start dropping off, you know, that there is this edifying that has happened. You have been affirmed in some way, in some aspect of your relationship. So the challenge continues. I can't, as it were, involve myself in a ministry and have everybody nice and comfortable and go away and not feel like actually I feel better equipped to get about being a Jesus follower. That's a part of this venture of being together on a Sunday morning. It's not just to, as it were, to worship and affirm and build faith, but to actually know that in some way the Lord's got my attention and I now feel I am better equipped. I had my regular visit. I have therapy on a number of occasions during the week. And one of them is to Bunnings. I had no reason to go, apart from the fact that I couldn't find my three-pronged gardening fork in the garage. Which is no surprise, because I can't find anything in the garage. Apart from Margie's car, and that's all we need to find, just for the moment. But I go and get my three-pronged fork, and away I go. And it's amazing how much easier it is to turn the soil with a three-pronged fork. The other option was the gardening fork that I found. You know, the one about this long? Where you get down on your... I'm not getting down there again. It was too hard to get up the other week. You're doing it like this, and you get RSI, and you're, well, the little fork, you know, it's like having a tractor. And there's lovely, lovely loosened-up soil. I turn around 3 minutes later. Margie had 15 of the plants in. I'm going to have to go faster. But the point of equipping, and I anticipate that in some way this morning, you will go home feeling better equipped to work out some aspect of your relationship with Jesus. So I hope you can appreciate a little bit of the challenge that I'm working with. Because I know for a fact that we're all in this room this morning, but as far as our relationship with Jesus is concerned, we're at all variety of points, all variety of locations and circumstances and situations, aren't I? Aren't we? We are, aren't we? What was that term that bloke? Oh, I was offended. That narrative that Elaine read. What did he call us? And everybody agreed. Did you hear what he called us? Can you if you can find it, Elaine, I'll fit it in a little bit later. But I was offended. Perhaps because it was so accurate. But the equipping process is a part of our gathering. And one of the things that, and again, I feel part of the challenge of ministry is to actually involve ourselves in places outside of our gathering for worship to further that equipping process. And one of the things that we will in some ways stumble across in the next couple of months is an area of equipping that the scriptures speak of as knowing what is your gift. What is your spiritual gifting in the grace of God? Does that make... You've heard that term before? I hope you have, because we're going to explore it in detail down the track. Because we can be thinking, hey, yeah, I've got to do this following Jesus thing without realizing that not only is the Spirit of God at work in my life, he's actually brought his toolkit with him. I love that imagery because, yeah, I've got a toolkit. But it's pretty exciting sort of stuff. You know, my gardening, ho-hum. Muggie bought me for my birthday a little caliper machine that measures the width of nuts and bolts and things like that. Haven't used it yet because I haven't found myself a space for it in the shed because I haven't got the shed yet because all the stuff's in the garage. You understand the mess I'm in? And you're expecting me to churn out these themes and readings every 3 months. But that's part of the challenge, isn't it? The challenge of following Jesus has multiple dimensions to it. And it's one of those things, and again, as an individual, I'm conscious of the fact that I have felt this great sense of achievement at finishing the retainer wall. I turn around and I see great puddles of clay and water and no boundaries to the garden. And I'm thinking, at least that bit's done. You know, and as Jesus followers, and whatever age we move to, when we get to the end of the journey, we can look back and say, well, some of it's done. But there seems like there's always something more, isn't there? And I got to halfway through this week. I've got a little challenge for you. Do you like a challenge? good, there's one person. That was not the anticipated response as such. I was sort of hoping for a roar, yeah, give us a challenge. It's in your newsletter. Grab your newsletter if you would. You've got a newsletter, The Messenger. You know the one that Elaine was talking about before, about all the information that's in it? Okay. Now, there is a possibility that some people might start tuning out about now. I'm really sorry about that, but I will press on regardless. Over the next little while, in the sense of weeks or so, that I would like to focus our attention in the counsel of God's Word into the challenges facing the church. The challenges facing us as a community, but we as a community represent a collection of a whole lot of other Christian communities. And there are many challenges that we face. Now, in your newsletter, you'll find a list. Is that right? Found yourself a list? Okay. Now, let me tell you, some of those you won't understand the terminology. That's all right. I'm looking for your top five. What do you think are the top five challenges that the Christian community is facing in this day? Can you understand my question? Yes? Oh, that's good. That's a good start. All right? Because it was about a month ago, I think, I put out another little slip that said something like this. That was my advance research so that I could in some ways engage the gathering in things that are going to be relevant for us, life-related, and something that we can tackle together will be edifying. All right, so that was my advance notice. Got a couple of responses there. So those are built into the next few weeks. The couple of themes that I've been given have been built in. But I would like your feedback. All right, you're ready for this? Ready for this? Nearly ready? Okay, anticipating you might have a writing instrument with you, so you can just put down one, two, three, your top five of that list that you feel are the most relevant, from your angle, most relevant, most challenging aspects that the Christian community is facing in this day. And because Elaine's already up and about, just in case you haven't got a writing pen, look what I found. A lot of them. So, nobody is without. Can you do that for me? Which means you can be engaged. So if you haven't got a pen, Elaine's got one for you. What I'm looking for is the top five. And so that our musicians can participate as well, I've just arranged some... There you go, there's some thinking music. Doing okay? Hopefully you don't feel like it's sort of like an exam time, but... Sorry? It's like voting, yes. It is a little bit like that. But one of the things I mentioned before about challenging aspects of ministry is actually to engage people not just in a sort of a one-way presentation on Sunday morning, because, I mean, I can share with you what I believe are the things that the Word of God is saying to us as a people. I can bring a personal slant on that, on the things that I'm actually working with. But what does that do for you? Because the critical thing is for all of us to actually be engaging this ministry of the Word on a personal basis, and then at the same time being doing it together. Can you understand what I'm saying? Because we can have little bits and pieces that another individual might bring into our lives or we might share with somebody else, but we realise, I believe that the Well, it's got this bigger picture, this bigger dynamic that he wants to work. We were singing at the beginning of our celebration, "For I'm building a people." Can you remember that far back? I can. That's a good start. "For I'm building a people of power." All right? And we can sing that, and we can know in that picture is a personal journey. That the Lord's actually building, we are building a relationship with him as individuals. But then you realise there's this shared venture. There's this people gathering aspect. And that's the bit that actually proves the challenge. I remember a few years back, has everybody finished that little questionnaire type thing? That's good. All right. So a number of years back, involved in the Dandenong Church in Melbourne, and it was at the season when a ministry, a presentation came called 40 Days of Purpose. Remember that? Wasn't that good? You know, and as a fellowship, we did that. The Dandenong Fellowship had never experienced anything like that before, and they had a membership about the same as Victor Harbour at that time. And we had 105 of the 110 people involved in the 40 Days of Purpose. And did it make a difference? Do you know how long for? About 6 months. Because you do one thing and you think, that's it. No, it's actually sustained. The Lord is building, not built, finished, that's it. Close down the project. Just in case you're wondering how I'm going to connect with a reading this morning, that was my first little connection point. The Lord is building his church, and it is a sustained project. Got that? With many aspects to it, many challenges. He's got his side totally under control. We're the ones with the challenge. How do we work out our side? So that's something of a venture that I'd like us to head into over the next month or more. All right? With our starting point, that's a reference to the conversation group. One of the things that I've found to be quite valuable in recent times is the opportunity to talk over some of the things that were stirred, as it were, on a Sunday morning. So it'll start this Thursday, most likely in the Sunday school room, library or hall, depending on the number of people. If you'd like some help in preparation for that, the slides that I use on a Sunday morning, a number of those have been printed up, copies of that have been printed up and are available in the foyer. And if you can sign in to the group, it just knows, helps me to plan which venue we will actually be in. So that's a follow-up to Sunday morning. And looking forward to those conversations, as it were, this saying, hey, here's what I heard, this is the challenge that I'm working with, and how do we do that together? So that's the purpose of that Thursday group. So here's my connection to this morning. And as Graham had made mention of, it is one of those really, I suppose, what would you say, significant points of the gospel, is when people begin quite with some insight, begin to identify, recognize who Jesus is. And again, as Elaine said a little bit earlier on, there's a fair possibility a lot of people in this room this morning have had a Jesus moment where a level of recognition has come to you, a revelation, a realization of who this person is, and there he has made a claim, a call on your life. And I am anticipating that's one of the reasons why you are here this morning. One of the reasons why, in many ways, you would be prepared, as it were, to pick up the challenge of saying, hey, yeah, I can see these issues, these challenges, these problems, these workspaces that we are facing as a gathering, and I'm quite prepared to be a part of the work team. I'm quite prepared to be a person who is willing to tackle the challenges on a personal basis and also to share the venture. With our starting point, and here's hoping you're there, Sue. What do you reckon? Is that a good place to start? Yeah, last Sunday was our theme. Can you remember that? Oh, that's further back than the first song this morning, isn't it? But I found my rock. You know, remember those who, did you write on your stone last week, number of folk? Yeah, okay, and the word that I can still read on mine, and I wrote it last week, which I find interesting. Jesus is my sustainer. You know, the project continues. He said, I will sustain you. You know, we talk about Jesus being with us all the time. You know, is he a passenger? Is he sitting in the Jason recliner next to me? No, he's the one sustaining us, keeping us in the project, as it were, showing us what the next aspect of that building project is going to be. So that's where I want to go over these next couple of months, is looking at some of the issues that one Christian community in around about 60 AD, as it happened, that a number of church communities formed over the 50 years or so since Jesus had ascended and said, that's it, right, I'm out of here, I leave my spirit with you, and he'll do the work, as it was. And so we're going to focus on the testimony, the situation that developed in a church in the city of Corinth. It's our point of reference in the sense of the part of God's word, the counsel of God's word, and we'll look at some of the issues that that particular church faced in that time. Now, as it would happen, not all of the situations mentioned in this piece of correspondence are relevant for us, but some of them are, well, they just seem to be recurring issues, challenges that the church faces. So this is where I'd like to go over the next couple of months, in dealing with some of the issues, challenges, problems, whatever term we want to use. This is where we'll go over the next couple of months. All right. This morning is our starting point in Matthew's Gospel, with that quite clear recognition from Peter, but the also quite clear response from Jesus. Okay, Peter, you've discovered something, you've actually been shown something, and you've picked it up. It's your God moment. It's your Jesus moment, literally. And Jesus says to him, on what you have just experienced, it's going to be the foundation of a gathering of people that I will now bring about across the generations. And hence we're here today as an expression, as an evidence of being the church that he is building. So that's our starting point. Some of the challenges. And again, there's an outline that has been given in the newsletter over the next few weeks. And you can read in advance some of the portion of this correspondence that took place between a fellow by the name of Paul and this Christian community in Corinth, of some of the challenges that they were working with. So a clear and consistent message. I occasionally sit in a conversation with people, and they say, you know, what is the message that the Christian community wants to get out? And most often the response is the gospel. Is that right? Good. Can you please explain to me in three words or less what the gospel is? Yeah. The challenge is you and I to be able to communicate what is the gospel. Yeah, that's more than three words. Jeff, I want you to bring it down. That's close to three words. Let's start with that one. Now the challenge is, that's next week. All right? So you get a bit of an eye where we're going to go. The following week, I understand, we'll bring a guest along. Is that right, Sue? Do you know if Joy's going to use the text, or is she? Don't know yet. So it may be the Corinthians passage that's in the newsletter, but it may not be. But we have a guest that morning, and so that'll give us a little bit of time to have a bit of variety in our diet, so to speak. So the next one will take us along to the bigger picture in the sense of this connectedness between these Christian communities. Is that a relevant issue for us today? And we go on to how disciplined the Jesus followers are. That was an issue because in that particular community, it appears, every Jesus follower seemed to think they could go according to their very own personal script. Don't know if you think like that. Do you think like that? All I have to do is follow Jesus the way that I like to follow Jesus. I'll need to possibly correct you on that on that particular Sunday morning, because that's not how it works. It's not just me and Jesus doing my thing. Anyway, that bit of advance notice on that one. Might have a small group that morning. Never know. That's the difficulty with giving advance notice of what your themes are, that people can pick and choose as to... excuse me while I... Can you advance that for me, Des? Because my little responder's not responding all that well this morning. The marriage. Now, people sort of, oh, yeah, that's new. Yeah, okay. We'll look at that one in the middle of August. Thanks, Des. Family service. And that's a regular feature. Last week we had The Rock and The Stones and engaging, and that morning will be Father's Day. We're anticipating at that stage possibly a building connection with some young families already, so we may have some other children in our midst. That's the type of thing, well, Lord willing, we keep heading in that direction. Freedom and rights, as to how does that work out? I have things that I expect in certain given situations, and if it doesn't happen, then I can crack a wobbly because I'm not getting what I want or whatever. They're the types of issues that can emerge even within a Christian community. And did I just miss one? Can you go back? Thanks, Des. Yes. The whole thing of what was developing in the church in Corinth was this sense of financial support of a person providing leadership, and that was something very, very different. For the very first time, that was a feature of the church. Thanks, Des. And orderly church. We're quite orderly. We've got an order of service too, haven't we, Elaine? And we're pretty close to the end of it for this morning. But that gives you a bit of advance notice in regards to the point of focus. Now, having just a few moments ago asked you to be involved in the sense of your top five priorities, and if you thought of another one, I forgot to mention that, if you thought of another one that you wanted to just scribble down the bottom, that's quite okay as well. But look at what I found out in the back room. Food baskets. So those who are appointed to serve this morning, this is my most gracious way of inviting back those folk, because I would like to collect your responses with your names on them. Does that make you feel uncomfortable? That's good. Thanks, Peter, and Graham, and Joan, and Brian, was it? Brian, what are you doing way at the back there, mate? Okay, happy to do that for me. That is absolutely brilliant. You can put the good thinking, Margaret Ann. You can return those pens as well. That would be good. Good. So while we finish that little exercise, thanks, Joan, thanks, Peter. Thanks for your contributions, folks, because it is valuable. I can make some adjustment in my preparation if that's what needs to happen. to bring out things that are even more relevant for us as a community of faith. The other thing which I was going to mention at the beginning of just the message time was in regards to the Child Safe Venture this afternoon. Just a reminder for anybody who would like to be a part of that venture, even if you've not committed yourself yet, but maybe would consider perhaps being involved with those 3 days in October, then if you're not signed in for this afternoon, you do need to be there. We do need to provide a sort of an endorsement, a covering for people to know that they have actually done the Child Safe training. That's not a local thing. That's something that is now required of any church having any contact with children's ministry expressions and also into the areas of aged care and all that sort of stuff as well. So it's one of the things we're just complying with in the sense of guidance from outside the Christian community. So the other thing this morning, as I just finished, can you go back to that last slide from this morning? Thanks, Des. Keep going. Thank you. This statement, and I highlighted it before, and I want to finish this morning with that focus. As again, Graham had rightly observed, it is a key point in the whole, I suppose, the overall big long-term plan that God is working out that now centres in this person of Jesus. It is that critical point is when a person acknowledges Jesus as limited, and again the narrative that Elaine shared this morning illustrated that, Peter's perception of Jesus was incomplete, but it was enough for him to actually be quickened to say, I recognize who you are. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That was the starting point. That's the bit that Jesus says, that's the foundation. The foundation is that faith recognition. Incomplete, but will become more detailed, more personal, more life-related. It'll become an integral part of an individual. That Jesus says, that's my starting point. Now, I say to you this morning, if you've actually experienced that starting point, then I want to remind you, you are in the project. Not an observer, not a site foreman, not a person who goes along to inspect the quality of the work. That's the Lord's business. I am a builder, I'm a person involved in the project, and I'm looking for his actually direction and instruction and encouragement and counsel and mentoring, all those modern day terms that say basically he wants me in the project, well equipped and increasingly smart about what I'm doing as far as being a part of his church. And for folk who may be here this morning, This is new space for you. This is something you've not heard. Maybe you heard about what church is, but this is where it comes back to. It is this working out of maybe the briefest recognition of who Jesus is and saying, I'm going to go from there. And he's going to work out his project, involve me in it. It's interesting that it's the person who made that statement about Jesus who later goes on to write about the fact to know this relationship with Jesus and become very much a part of this living project that he has going. So I want to leave you with this question, thanks Des, right at the end here as we head into this series of times of focus. Jesus said he would build his church. What can we see of the ways that he has done that? What can we see of the ways that Jesus has built his church? And again, I'm looking for your feedback. I'm looking for you to engage the theme, so to speak. And say, okay, I've got a bit of an understanding of what church is, but is it accurate? And can I see what Jesus is actually doing? Might be a different question, might be a different perspective. And I think it's an important one to explore, because he did say, I will build my church. I will build it. How's he building it? And how am I in it? Questions for you and me to explore and experience. Let's stand, we'll pray together. And Lord, we do, again, just give you thanks that as we are prepared, as it were, to engage, to actually hear, this is one of the most personal and powerful things that you spoke into the life of Peter as one of that first group of disciples, and you spoke it into his life. And I'm sure he realized exactly what you were saying without knowing the possible implications. But Lord, we find ourselves in the same position, and many of us have made a declaration in our hearts to acknowledge, Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We have declared that you are Lord of our lives. And we hear again this morning this wonderful assurance that you are building your church. And Lord, we just ask that you open our eyes to see how you're doing that, and to see the part that we play as individuals, as it were, living stones in this amazing project that you have committed to and you are working out through the years, through the generations, through various communities, Christian communities, all over the face of the earth, and we are one of them. And Lord, we present ourselves and say again, Lord, work your work in us. Make the project aspect that takes expression through this fellowship, Victor Harbour Church of Christ, may it build with such life and dynamic that clearly evidences the fact that you are Lord of this place. To your glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.